Welcome to Torah Macha Nachayomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rena Foreman, and today we'll be studying Yechezkel, Perek Gimel, Chapter 3. Last we see in Perek Bet, Yechezkel eats the Megillah that is spread before him. God needs to remind him to make sure to swallow the Megillah once he ingests it. The image that comes to my mind is that of trying to give a kid medicine and making sure they don't spit it out, which has happened to us many times. And in fact, Yechezkel does just that. He eats the Megillah and makes sure to swallow it. It's hard to forget Yechezkel's reaction upon eating the Megillah. You'll remember that he says that he finds the word of the Megillah sweet, sweet as honey. Does swallowing or internalizing the Megillah and finding its words tasty translate into an end to Yechezkel's recalcitrance? The answer is, it doesn't appear to. You see, if we are finally seeing a change in Yechezkel's behavior, we would expect to see Yechezkel doing what God has asked him to do, giving over the message to the Beit Meri, rebellious house of Israel, whether or not they will listen, as he was instructed by God. But instead, we don't see a willingness to speak on Yechezkel's part. In fact, we see nothing at all. Yechezkel is silent. The next move is taken by God. Once again, God is the one that initiates the next conversation. And again, God tells him to give the message over to the people. But if we look at the words of this dictate in Psukim Gimel through Zion carefully, we'll notice something very interesting. The verses seem to reiterate the words of the dictate that we saw in the last parak in Psukim Gimel through Zion over there. But do they really reiterate it? Is it the same message? Well, let's see. Again, Yechezkel is told not to fear. Al tirah otam lo tichat mipneihem. Again, he's reminded that the people are merry, rebellious. Again, he's told that they're not going to listen to the words of the Navi. In fact, Yechezkel is pretty much guaranteed they won't listen. In Pasuk Zayin, Uvei Yisrael lo yavu lishmo elecha, ki einam ovim lishmo elai. They won't listen. They don't want to listen. So far, the language is very similar. But if we take a closer look, we will see some telling differences. We will notice that what is different here is that this time, the Milah HaMancha, the repeated leading word, seems to shift. We are still working with the theme of merry rebelliousness, which we saw multiple times in the last parak. But here's the difference. Here, the Milah HaMancha, the leading word, switches to the Shorash Chazak, strength, which just happens to be the root of Yechezkel's name. Listen to that word in these psukim. Pasuk Zayin, Uveit Yisrael lo yavu lishmo elecha, ki einam ovim lishmo elai. Ki chol beit Yisrael, chizkei metzach, ukshei lev hema. Hinei natati panecha chazakim l'umat pneihem, ve'emitzchacha chazak l'umat mitzcham. Kishomer chazak mitzor natati mitzchacha. This word chazak, we'll translate in a moment, keeps on coming up. Yechezkel is being told to make himself strong and forceful, chazak, so that he can be a match to the chozek metzach, literally hardness of forehead, the strength of the people, and the hardness of their hearts. In Pasuk Tet, Hashem tells him, kishamir chazak mitzor natati mitzchacha. In other words, he's going to make Yechezkel, Hashem is going to make Yechezkel, as strong as a shamir worm that can cut through rock. It's no wonder that his name is Yechezkel, than one who El, God, strengthens. So, does Yechezkel respond this time? Does God's promise to strengthen him convince him? Alas, still. No response on Yechezkel's part. He still doesn't go and give the message over to the people. In Pasuk Yud, once again, it is God who initiates and asks Yechezkel to take the message to heart. A cold varai, asher daber elecha, kach bilvavecha. Take my words to heart, just go tell the people, whether or not they will listen. Im yishmu v'im yachdalu. In the next pasuk, we encounter another familiar word, the word ruach, translated as wind or spirit. Remember earlier, the ruach picked Yechezkel up when he fell? Here, the ruach carries him. Vatisaini ruach, a spirit carried me. And then, a couple verses later, v'ruach nisatani, the spirit of God carried me. Let's watch out for this word ruach as we continue in our story. Where does God carry him with his spirit? You want to know? Pasuk Tetvav tells us, Vavola Golat Tel Aviv Hayushrim al Nahar Kvar. Yechezkel says, I was taken to the Gola, to those in exile in the city of Tel Aviv, on the banks of the river Kfar, which we heard about in the beginning of the first parak. He was taken to the river in Babel, Babylonia. Remember that Milah HaManchah that we spoke about a few minutes ago, the word Chazak? God was strengthening Yechezkel against the strength of the people, if you recall. Here again, we have the word Chazak in Pasuk Yudalid. V'yad Hashem alai Chazakah. In this case, rather than God giving strength to Yechezkel, as we saw earlier, God is using his own strength almost against Yechezkel. It's God's hand forcing itself upon me, in Yechezkel's words. Is it possible that there's another meaning of Yechezkel's name that emerges here? Seems that at this point in time, El, God, is forcing himself, his strength, upon Yechezkel. As a result, Yechezkel doesn't get much of a choice, kind of like God has upped the ante, almost pinning him down and insisting that he fulfill his mission. Almost like Yechezkel has no control here. Or does he? As we continue in Pasuk Yudalid, we see that Yechezkel does finally go on the mission, Va'elech, and I went. But listen to the rest of the Pasuk, Va'elech mar b'chamat ruchi. Literally, the words translate to mean, I went embittered with my angry spirit. We recognize the word ruach, spirit. We saw God's ruach picking up Yechezkel and carrying him earlier. The word chema means anger. Here, Yechezkel uses the word ruach to tell us, I went with chama ruchi, with an angry ruach, an angry spirit. What about the word mar? Do we recognize that word? We haven't seen that exact word, but we have encountered an awfully similar word, another word that has a mem and a resh. Remember the word meri that came up multiple times in the last parak? Yechezkel was told, don't be rebellious like the rebellious nation in the last parak. Al tehi meri kevein hameri. Mar sounds a lot like meri, doesn't it? Perhaps Yechezkel is kind of saying, I won't act with meri, with rebellion, technically that is. But I will act mar, embittered, a word that is very similar to meri. Almost as if Yechezkel is saying, you can force me all you want, and I will eventually have to listen to you, to the letter of your law. I won't be merry. I won't rebel against you, but you can't stop me from being mar. I will have to go on the mission I'm forced into doing, but I will do it bitterly. Perhaps we can understand Va'elech b'chamat ruchi in the same vein. God, you can carry me with your ruach, your spirit, but I still reserve the right to go with my chamar ruach, with my own angry ruach, an angry spirit. So how does it all end? We just read that Yechezkel feels coerced and goes on the mission embittered with an angry spirit. The thing we are wondering now is, does he give over the message, albeit with a bitter attitude now that he goes to the people? Because going on the mission is not necessarily tantamount to giving over God's message. As we saw in the last parak, eating the Megillah isn't the same as swallowing it. Well, what do we see next? Any indication of Yechezkel carrying out the mission? Next thing Yechezkel tells us is, Va'ayshev sham shivat yamim mashmim b'tocham. I sat there for 7 days. Quietly. He sits silently with the people and says, absolutely nothing. He is silent, not for 1 hour or 1 day, but for 7 days. And again, still nothing from Yechezkel. We're not really surprised, are we? In true form, rather than argue, Yechezkel falls silent. He seems to be exercising his right to the Fifth Amendment, so to say. If he were a talking man, his words might sound something like this. God, you forced me to come, but you can't force me to talk. Doesn't seem like he has any intention of relaying the message to the people, does it? How is this going to end? Let's continue and read how God reacts to Yechezkel's embittered silence. What does God think? So, it's God who does the talking next. Let's read through Psukim, Tetzayin, and Yodzayin. At the end of 7 days, Vayimikzei Shivat Yamim, Vayhi Tvar Hashem Elai Lemor, Ben Adam, Tzofen Atatiha LeBeit Yisrael. I have made you a tzofeh for the house of Israel. We'll talk about what tzofeh is in a moment. V'shamata mipi davar. When you hear from me, hisharta otam imeni. Warn them. Warn them from me. Is this another attempt to tell Yechezkel to take on the mission? Or is God going in a different direction? Let's look at the language here to clue us in. The word sofeh, do we remember a word used earlier in the story that is composed of the same letters as sofeh? Sari, say, hey? That's right. The word say, the unusual word for God forcefully prying open Yechezkel's mouth to eat the inedible. This seems like a deliberate play on words. What are we to make of this? Well, the meanings of these two words are related. Instead of forcing you, like I did when I said say et picha, I will make you a sofeh. What is that sofeh? Literally, a sofeh is a seer, kind of like a military scout, someone who is part of the army, who is an ally to the other soldiers. He looks toward the horizon to see what's coming. You will look outward, God says, toward the horizon, and you will see the future. Like a scout, your duty will be to warn your countrymen of what's coming, which is exactly what God tells him to do now. Ben Adam Tzofena Taticha LeBeit Yisrael. The scout, the Navi, will look out toward the future and warn the people about what God has in store for them. V'yisharta otam mimeni. Perhaps the direction here is instead of forcing you by prying your mouth open, pitzei, to oppose the people with strength, which doesn't seem to be working, I will change your mission ever so slightly by renaming you sofeh, one that is a scout for the team. Perhaps that will be more palatable to you, and that will be a mission you can embrace. It's like God is saying, Yechezkel, you didn't respond to any of my other requests, but will you try it this way? Will you try it as a tzofeh? To pick up on the Dr. Seuss motif, it's kind of like the guy in the green eggs and ham trying to convince Sam I Am to eat the food on his plate. Would you eat it in a house? Would you eat it with a mouse? Would you eat it here or there? Would you eat it anywhere? In other words, God is asking Yechezkel, is there anything I can do to convince you to take on my mission? And as we continue reading the Pesukim, we see God attempting to convince Yechezkel that being a scout, a tzofeh, is a mission he can embrace. God says, V'yisharta otam mimeni. Warn them from me, almost as though God is telling Yechezkel to take the side of the people as their tzofeh, take their side, and warn them against God as enemy bringing destruction. Warn them, mimeni, to watch out for me, God says. In the verses that follow, God explains to Yechezkel that although the people are generally rebellious, and that they may ignore the warnings that the scout brings to them, he should embrace this mission anyway, because it's not as futile as it might seem. Whether people are righteous or wicked, whether they will listen to him or not, there's value in him warning them about the future. A Russia might change his ways, and even if not, at least they can say they weren't warned. And at least you, Yechezkel, won't be culpable for their sins as a result of not having warned them. V'ata et nafshecha hitzalta. You will save your own life. And you can probably predict what happens here. Like an ongoing refrain, still no response on Yechezkel's part. Yechezkel's answer seems to remain, I will not eat green eggs and ham. Not even if you reframe my message as a mere tzofeh, watchman. Not even if you try to convince me that the mission is not a futile one. So, we know how this goes. Once again, God is the one that initiates and does the speaking. But as we look into these final psukim, what we will look for is whether God is changing his tactics yet again. Let's see. The following psukim are actually going to seem frustratingly familiar. They sound like God is just repeating himself, telling Yechezkel again what he told him way back in the last parak. The themes and expressions repeat themselves. A ruach comes. Vatisaini ruach. Yechezkel falls on his face. It is God that stands him back upon his feet. Again, Yechezkel is reminded that the people aren't likely to listen to his words. Yimishma'u v'im yachdalu. But there are two main exceptions. We see in Pasuk Chaf Bet, in verse 22, that God's hand is again upon Yechezkel. But this time, there seems to be a change. This time, it is different. Different than the last time we saw God's hand upon Yechezkel. In Pasuk Yudalid, God's hand was forcing itself upon Yechezkel, v'yan Hashem alav chazaka. But this time, the word chazak is missing. V'tihi alai sham yad Hashem. God's hand is no longer chazaka. It is no longer strong and forceful. It appears as though God is no longer using force, doesn't it? There's another difference between these texts that shouts out at us. This time, instead of instructing Yechezkel to open his mouth as he did before, God is now asking Yechezkel to do the exact opposite. Yechezkel is told to shut his mouth and not speak. V'ne'elamta. As if for added effect, God tells Yechezkel in Pasuk Vav, Lushoncha adbik elchikecha. I will glue your tongue to your palate. As a tzofeh, you only need to warn them. V'lo tiyeh lahem le'ish mochiyah. You will not be an Ishmochiach, someone who gives tohacha, rebuke to the people. It won't be on you to change them. Uvudabri otachen pasuk chav zayin, eftachet picha. God's words at the end further reinforce this idea. God tells Yechezkel, you will only open your mouth when the time is right. When I tell you, only then will you open your mouth. How in the world are we to understand this? There seems to be a complete turnaround here. This whole time, God has been asking Yechezkel, even forcing his hand on Yechezkel, and demanding that he does the exact opposite of this. Open your mouth, eat, speak, go to the people, warn them, tell them. After a multitude of requests to open his mouth and promote God's word, now Yechezkel is being told to be silent? What's going on here? Is God perhaps giving up? Or is he kind of telling Yechezkel, since you insisted on not speaking, you've now lost your chance to speak? Or maybe Yechezkel has finally convinced God that speaking isn't going to work. We are kind of left wondering. Tomorrow, in Perek Dalet, in chapter 4, as our story continues to unfold, we can look for some clues to help us develop a better understanding of what God's new vision for Yechezkel's role might be. In the meantime, thank you for studying together, Le'ilu Nishmat Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander.